Da-da-da.
Okay.
Everybody probably thought that Star Wars was done, but
I
it's
did.
not. It's not. So we have a concept for something that's going to be a little bit casual, and it's going to be so painful for little Nathan Crabsworth. So painful.
Why do you people allow this?
Now, we just came out of one where I did most of the talking because I was reviewing a book to you and you just got to react.
Yeah.
Now we're going into one where not only are you doing most of the talking and the critical thinking, but it's on the spot talking and critical thinking. Nothing is
Which you
prepared.
know I absolutely love.
Yeah, so a bit of love with a bit of hate. So.
About things that I love very dearly, but my God.
So. There's a really nice series on Disney Plus called What If for Marvel. So it's like, what if, Agent Carter became Captain America? And it's I like it because it's a nice way to explore different takes, different stories that aren't necessarily full canon. I think it's fun. And you can kind of have a take it or leave it attitude with it. I like seeing
Yeah.
what people can do with the properties. Does that make sense? Like,
It makes sense. It makes total
I like
sense.
seeing the creative ideas. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool to have a what if Star Wars?
No, it wouldn't.
I was like, this would be cool. This would be really great. And then I thought, it's probably, if it's going to happen, it's not going to happen for a long time. And it's probably not going to happen with the current head of Star Wars that we have right now. So who do I know who's really into Star Wars? And who do I know who, would probably relish flexing his creative muscle, thinking how to make something work?
You say one thing to one evil witch, you do one series, and then all of a sudden, no, you're the Star Wars guy.
Yeah, so I don't have a name for this series. I think it's going to be just what ifs, and it'll be for, our favorite properties and stuff like that. It's also something fun we can do while we're building up to do the disenchantment like full retrospective, because that's a
Oh my
beast.
God, I totally forgot. That's a thing that we can do now.
Yeah, and we're doing we announced we're doing it. We're doing
Yes,
it for
we have to do it. We
2024.
have to
Yeah.
do it.
So, and I thought this would be a nice, thing we can do in between as we're
Oh
working on
yeah.
that. So, the first what if, I warned you it would be painful. What do you think I'm going to ask you? Because you mentioned it in our little like chat session on
Yeah,
Facebook, what you thought I was
so
going to make you do.
I am scared.
You thought it was going to be something with Rey.
Yeah. Rey, a character I absolutely cannot stand outside of Rian Johnson's take on.
So it doesn't involve Rey.
Oh, thank God.
Instead, I'm going to ask you, what if Mace Windu
No.
was the hero?
Okay, define hero for me.
I mean, he doesn't do what he did in Star Wars 3, I can tell you that.
Okay, well,
Because
I mean,
I would say Anakin could have come back at any point in time, he could have come back. But when Mace Windu did what he did, couldn't come back from that.
Okay, so we're keeping Mace Windu the same.
Oh no. You can
Right.
go
Okay,
back.
okay.
You can go back all the
I can
way.
go. I can
You
go
can go any
completely.
which way. You can do a redemption
Okay. Are
arc.
there
You can do
any are there
anything.
any sort of are there any sort of paths I can't take on this?
The major plot points in one and two would have to be the same. Like the
Would have
Clone
to be
Wars
the
still
same.
has to
Okay,
happen.
okay. So, okay,
Anakin
the
still
clone.
has to come off of Tatooine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let me put it this way. Luke and Leia still have to be born.
Yeah. Okay, 1,000%. So we're basically taking Obi-Wan out of his screen time hero role and giving him to Samuel Jackson.
Oh no, you can have a double hero. We can go hard with Obi-Wan in Obi-Wan intergalactic space detective.
Okay, all right.
You can do that too. That's fine.
So I've got complete free reign. Okay.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to start by just limiting myself here. I'm not going to look at the Clone Wars or any other extended media. I'm just going to look at the prequel trilogy as to what you could do with Mace Windu. And I think I'm going to start by just explaining my issues with Mace Windu just as a whole before I go back and see what I can do to tweak his story in order to make him at least somewhat more tolerable
on the whole.
And I mean on the whole, because let's get this straight. The way that episode 3 was written, and I love 3, I really do, but the way that 3 was written in terms of its dialogue, it was entirely Mace Windu's fault that Anakin joined the dark side. I don't care about the Padme stuff. I don't care about how Darth Sidious played on Anakin's emotions. I don't care about any of that because Anakin was rightfully resisting and he was rightfully within the code of the Jedi to do everything that he was asking Mace Windu to do. It was Mace Windu who went against the code and Mace Windu paid for it when Anakin decided to turn on Mace Windu. The way that that is portrayed is absolutely insane, that is the boiling point, or that is the jumping point for Anakin. There are so many other ways you could have done that, but that's another story for another day. Mace Windu also does not call Master Yoda Master Yoda at any time. And I don't know about you, but that made my blood boil when I went back and I rewatched. I'm like, okay. Darth Sidious, the most evil bastard in the world, is more respectful of Yoda than somebody who is supposedly one of the big heads of the Jedi Council. So with that being said, how do you portray Mace Windu heroically?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that I would argue you can't change. Okay. Number one, his stuff on Geonosha, where he's actually leading a troop of Jedi and clones against the droid separatist army, is probably the best look that we got of Mace Windu and how he got to be where he is. Because he is actively leading a battalion somewhat effectively. If Yoda, Anakin, and Obi-Wan weren't around, he would have lost. But at the end of the day, nobody could have expected, particularly Anakin and Obi-Wan, to be as big of X factors as they were for Mace Windu.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, episode 1, I'm not going to change a thing, because Mace Windu, if I remember correctly, barely appears at all. What I am going to do is build up the legend of his lightsaber so it actually makes sense. And I will bring in, because I'm going to take beats from the extended universe as to how that's done, because I think it's tastefully done. Because here's the thing. Anakin is very clearly a Padawan, very clearly enamored with the ideals of Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan, as flawed as they are. Well, they're not really flawed. It's the Council who's flawed, but... And Qui-Gon is basically... Qui-Gon to me spoke like a renegade. Obi-Wan was the much more like level-headed one,
mm-hmm,
of the two of them. Qui-Gon was very much the loose cannon. Qui-Gon sees what it does to Obi-Wan. and that it's impulsive. Or Obi-Wan's impulsive nature. So for Anakin, he doesn't want to do that. He wants to take a role very similar to what he took with Annie, but dialed up to 11. He talks about, you know, the legends of the lightsabers, how Jedi will get the color of the lightsaber that they get. When he comes to purple, they talk about a stalwart hero. A hero that does not necessarily abide by all the code of the Jedi. You can be that shade of gray, but he is extremely well respected for what he's able to do. Because your purple lightsaber, your blue lightsaber, your green lightsaber, all of those light side colors that we generally get, yeah, those are the order of the Jedi. You've got, by contrast, blue and red. Red is the color of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
You name me a Sith Lord without a red lightsaber. Purple, if you put red and blue together,
you get purple.
Yeah, so number one, when I get to Mace Windu's actual introduction, number one, I don't believe Mace Windu should be on a council. Ever. You take him off of the council. You make him a neutral party. You make him only want to protect. Okay? His main job is going to be entirely... He's only interested in protecting his own planets, which is, I believe it's Harun Kal. He's only interested in protecting that. And that planet, he is seen as a hero. He is seen as the great hero of the Jedi. But he understands that the council is a little off of its rocker. Mm-hmm. Why do you do this? Number one, it gives credence to particularly 4, 5, 6, early 6, especially when Luke is using, you know, your force choke powers and then you've got the great Jedi, because that's already in there. Luke's got a good heart. He doesn't necessarily go about it the Jedi way. Mace Windu could be very much the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to popular belief, okay, the planet that Mace Windu is on, we're going to say, is not ran by the Galactic Council. No, it is its own society. It is self-sufficient. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it is allowed to be self-sufficient is because its main idea of military and peace and religion is the Force. But it's the Force from a neutral but flawed perspective, Mace Windu's. You can still keep him as impulsive. You can still keep him as headstrong as you want at that point. There's only one rule I'm going to put in place for Mace Windu. He must always address Master Yoda as Master Yoda. That is the one constant.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you address Master Yoda as Master Yoda? Because in my headcanon, Master Yoda is the one that trains Mace Windu.
Ah. That makes sense.
And Mace Windu, for as headstrong as he is, he does have respect for the Jedi Order. And he will leave the council when he was appointed to it after becoming a full Jedi, because he does not agree with the council. He's off on his own separate stuff. You have the Clone Wars happen the way it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Almost entirely. But you also get told of, you know, the planet that Mace Windu is protecting, and how it is one of those neutral planets.
Yes.
You have Anakin and Obi-Wan going there because, they fear separatist movement on that. They fear Geonosha. They fear everything. And they just want to preserve order as best they see it. They are ambushed by separatist forces led by Count Dooku. They're ambushed. They're completely overwhelmed. Anakin and Obi-Wan are both near dead. Then all of a sudden, as Dooku is about to strike the finishing blow on... Well, let's go Annie. He'll still be the inexperienced one. You have a hand come up on Dooku that he's going to use on Annie, and it starts to choke him. You look, you see a figure cloaked in gray, similar to how Obi-Wan was in episode 4. He reveals himself to be Mace Windu. Mace Windu kicks some ass. Because if you're going to have Samuel Jackson, as much as I don't want Samuel Jackson anywhere near my Star Wars, you gotta have Samuel Jackson kick some ass. And who better to kick the ass of than Christopher Lee? He does not kill him. Because that is not his planet's way. It's not the Jedi way, it's just convenient that it is. Both Anakin and Obi-Wan recognize Mace Windu. Especially Obi-Wan, they get to talking about the upcoming war. And after a little while, because Obi-Wan is not necessarily the best salesman in the world yet, Mace Windu just cuts him off and says, "Not interested."
Oh, damn.
And he's basically left to his own devices.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan presses Mace Windu more.
Mm-hmm.
Then he reveals the Jedi Council is not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, damn.
Not good. And of course, that sets off Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
The two of them fight. That's where you first get the appearance of the unease in Anakin. And that's what fuels Anakin and Obi-Wan's separation. Where Anakin is chosen to be close to Padme, and Obi-Wan is chosen to go off and, play with death sticks. Go to the clones, stuff like that. So the rest of the movie is allowed to happen. It's allowed to happen as it does. The only thing that I would change is prior to the giant battle of the movie. Forget the planet's name right now. You don't see Yoda leading a battalion of troops. You see him going to talk to Mace Windu.
Ooh.
With Obi-Wan. It is Mace Windu, not Yoda, who says, "I sense great fear in the young one. Watch the young one." It's basically a sense of Yoda telling Mace Windu, should the separatists win, what do you think they're going to do? they're going to come after the planet with the Jedi with the purple lightsaber who is protecting them.
Mm.
Asking you to be a part of the council. I am not. Asking you to protect what you hold dear is what I am. Yoda leaves. Mace Windu thinks about it. Big battle happens. It looks to be, instead of Mace Windu leading the fight, it is Yoda leading the fight. Yoda against Count Dooku. It is Mace Windu who surprises. Mace Windu is the one who brings himself and brings any other willing fighter to help the Jedi forces and the clones. And they repel that. Obi-Wan is excited for the clones' victory because there's one line in there from Yoda that I don't want to take out. Victory. No, no, Master Kenobi. Not victory. Begun the Clone War has. Mace Windu overhears this. And then he finds out about Palpatine being granted emergency chancellor powers. It's at this point where he still doesn't join the council, but he is much more apt to sit it on meetings, be all that, because again, he's only going to be protecting his ship. The other thing I'm going to have too is Christopher Lee has a vendetta against Windu. Why? Because if it weren't for Mace Windu protecting, Obi-Wan and Anakin would have likely been destroyed. Which at the end of the day, selfishly, is what Dooku would have wanted.
Hmm.
Dooku was not a stupid villain by any means. He could have known that Sidious was planning something with Anakin. And he wanted to protect himself. Why wouldn't you? You get to Revenge of the Sith. Much of Mace Windu's position in that movie is the same. The only thing is, in addition to Anakin and Obi-Wan going to save Chancellor Palpatine, they're actually choosing, instead of where they did, even though it was great, to have it on Windu's home turf. That's how you get Windu involved for the rest of the movie. Whereas you have Sidious pulling the strings on one side of Anakin and doing so masterfully, you're going to have Mace Windu on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through the movie. It's not going to be one of those cases where Windu doesn't trust Anakin for seemingly no reason. It's going to be a case where we elaborate a little bit on Windu's backstory. We can see why he left the council. He has much of the same reservations that carries Anakin now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here where Anakin reveals what he saw. And Windu is one of those people that are like, why on earth do you believe a dream? Why on earth do you believe a dream? Why on earth do you live in fear of said dream? But rather, instead of what Yoda did, which is basically, yeah, accept her fate. She's going to die. Windu, flawingly, says, a dream hasn't happened, so live it up for today.
Mm-hmm.
The the future isn't written.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good one.
So basically, the thing comes out that that there is a suggestion that Anakin shadows Palpatine as Palpatine's master. This is a beautiful plan by Palpatine that I don't want to take out. Windu's whole opposition was in that he doesn't trust Anakin. That he's too young getting this much power, and that the Senate is infiltrating the Jedi Council. Mace Windu says, I'm not on this council, but this is a dangerous move, one way or the other. It's not on Windu to make the decision. But which of the bigger evils is there? Are you going to upset a hot-headed kid who has got seemingly the power to bring about the end of the war? Or do you allow the Galactic Senate to infiltrate the Jedi Council? That's a question he poses. It is the Council who acts like the Council. In that the whole idea of Anakin not being on the council but not being granted the rank of master is stupid for the council to do logistically, because he's sitting there but he doesn't get a vote, but he still has to go to all the meetings, but he doesn't get a vote. He can still be ordered around like a military boy, but he doesn't get a vote. It's like I'll put it to you like this. Just stand there with your lightsaber and look menacing. Is pretty well how the council treated Annie all the way through in the original one. Here, Mace Windu is warning against that. But of course, the council doesn't take it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mace Windu is the... Like, you can still have Mace Windu chase down Palpatine under the order from Anakin. Because as much as Mace Windu doesn't trust Palpatine, he does trust Anakin. And he's been given more time to discern why he doesn't like the council. Why, And even in the character change, why Mace Windu would even do something like this. So if you go that route, and you still have Palpatine die, or sorry, you still have Mace Windu die, which I still think you do, it doesn't feel as forced, because number one, it's not going to be Anakin that kills him. It's going to be Palpatine. And it's going to be a case where Palpatine still says, I have the power to save the one you love. Or I have the power to end her suffering. And it's at that moment where, you know, he twists the knife a little bit on Anakin. He forces his hand a little bit, but he uses Mace Windu as a sacrificial lamb to get Anakin on his side without having to do the don't listen to him, Anakin, all this shit. Because I'm sorry, anything involving Mace Windu's fight with Palpatine should have never happened. From there, you can have Revenge of the Sith happen mostly the same. If you want to keep Mace Windu throughout the rest of episode 3, have him commiserate with Obi-Wan via Force Ghost. Don't just say that Qui-Gon has come back from the other side. Have Mace Windu force it. And that's how you keep him around. But I feel like the best way to make Mace Windu a hero, or at least be seen as a hero, is to take him out of any position of political power when you've got a much more interesting story of him being the ultimate shade of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is no black and white, because nothing Mace Windu really does is in complete alignment with the council.
Yes.
Mace Windu shifts back and forth and back and forth. That allows him to be more headstrong, but not a complete idiot. And I'm sorry, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. Because I think that's the best way you go about making Windu likable in the movies. I know in the series, in the extended universe stuff, he's a lot better than he is in the three baseline movies. I'm not even going to talk about that, but that would be how I would look at Mace Windu, especially since Mace Windu's death in the original Revenge of the Sith signals the end of any sort of feigned neutrality.
Yes.
From either the Jedi Council or the rising Galactic Empire. But you can foreshadow that a lot more. And you can make Mace Windu not a complete headstrong idiot.
Ooh. So, that was well thought out. How painful is that to do?
Okay, so considering that was like 20 seconds notice. it was quite painful because I don't like Mace Windu.
I know, that's why this was the first one.
I don't like Mace Windu at all. So I'm like, okay, how the do you make Mace Windu work? Because Mace Windu is the equivalent of Samuel Jackson just popping up on sets and, hey guys, how you doing? Hey, Sam, you want to be in a movie?
Yes. So, I find it interesting how you're just like, we're still gonna play out the Sith thing, like the Darth Vader's gonna happen type thing, right?
Yeah, of course Vader's gonna happen. You can't have Star Wars without Vader. You just can't.
So I have two questions for our next installments, which we'll do at another time. But I was wondering if you wanted to know them ahead of time this time.
I do, actually.
You do? Okay. So one's a fun one, and one's a fun for me one. So which one would you like to know first?
Give me the fun for you.
Fun for me? What if Anakin walked away? Padme gets pregnant. He just walks away. They leave.
He walks away from Padme, or he walks away from the Empire?
Being a Jedi, they walk away together. Yeah. What if?
Oh, that could be fun. I like that one.
Right? And then do you want to know the one that's just fun?
Yes.
What if Lando never lost his Millennium Falcon to Han? So I'll let you get a chance.
Well, first
to
of all,
you
old pirate, I can tell you this much about the Falcon, you old pirate. If I never lost the Millennium Falcon, let's just say the ship you'd be taking is a lot more junky. This thing made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. You want to know how many parsecs it actually took? 11 and a half. Yeah.
Finger guns all the way.
Han, you old pirate, you're nothing but a smuggler. Why don't you sit here and be my Wookiee?
So, you get to stew on those two.
I have a Wookiee that owes a life debt to me. He finds that extremely offensive.
So, you get to stew on those two questions for a little bit.
Yeah, those sound fun. I like those.
Yeah, I think you'll like those ones. Do they make up for the pain I just caused you?
A little bit.
Only a little bit. They just take the edge off.
I don't like Mace Windu. And you know I don't like Mace Windu. There's only one character probably that I hate unequivocally more than Mace Windu, given how much screen time they have.
It's Jerry, isn't it? Stormtrooper Jerry, isn't it? Gary. I'm sorry, Gary.
Gary's a bitch. he's number two. He's ahead of Windu. Okay, yeah.
Oh man, what about Kevin from Imperial Accounting? How do you feel about him?
Okay, now you know what, Kevin, he gets a bad rap, but he's actually a super swell guy. You want to know how the Empire actually managed to balance the books during the early Vader tenure, when he was always like, ooh, take over planet? It was Kevin and it was Stormtrooper beanies. Hey, you want to know what you do? Listen, we've got enough money to take over three planets. So, Kevin, why don't you do the work on the next six? And so what Kevin would do is he would somehow populate the first six planets with Stormtrooper beanies. And it would be like a giant mass media campaign for the Stormtroopers. Everybody would be happy. And for whatever reason, Kevin, very successful at his job. The revenue those Stormtrooper beanies bought in financed not just six planets. Okay, we're talking like 11. Because, you know, you got to take a little bit off the top, corporate embezzlement. But Kevin's solid.
I feel like we have a background character to add to our fan story now. Oh,
Kevin.
Kevin from Imperial Accounting.
Beanies! Get your beanies!
All right. With that, we say once again, thank you, Jerry!
Thank you, Jerry!
Thank you! I'm sure he is furiously sewing Stormtrooper beanies as we speak.
Yep.
Yeah. By now we are on Spotify, so there's like, what is it, like, subscribe, comment type stuff that happens now, so you know,
yeah.
go for it.
You can comment on our stuff now.
Do all the things. So, and you can find us at on Instagram as Death Pixie as well. Check us out as www.deathpixie.ca to get all the updated links to our socials and stuff. And we are also on YouTube now. We did a migration. So,
YouTube.
Yeah, that's fun. Remember, Reggie's Fall Fashion Show, the hit single from my wonderful co-host here. It's still on YouTube. It's still on
YouTube. It never left YouTube.
No, it's always been there.
Like we get problems with copyright all the time, but it's time for the fashion show that's gonna make you scream. It's time for the fashion show with the fucking queen. It's Reggie. Reggie's Fall Fashion. Reggie. Reggie's Fall Fashion Show.
And it's the extended mix on YouTube. So, you know, yeah, you can really go up and get down.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah. I can't believe between Reggie's Fall Fashion Show and Joker of Green Gables, those are like the two that I am shocked we haven't had any copyright issues with.
Well, they're brilliant. They are brilliant.
I am absolutely floored, and I'm super excited to be on this journey with you.
At that note, do you have anything to say to the peoples?
Milk, lemonade, around the corner fudge is made.
I thought you wanted to talk up your play.
Oh, that thing that I'm doing in February and March and probably should promote.
Elizabeth Rex, Rex. This is high level acting here. Even if it's community theater.
it's high level. It's a dramatic theater. I play Lord Robert Cecil. You know, despite what you may hear about the man, and you can read all about Lord Robert Cecil, Earl of Salisbury, private secretary to Queen Elizabeth I, to find out all of his more unsavory background. However, Cecil himself is a man who is loving of order and actually preserves the Kingdom of England during the Passover between Queen Elizabeth and, I believe, who was the king who came after him?
James.
King James, yeah. And a lot of what he did historically was very, very good. However, he the way that he went about it, in some cases, not necessarily the best you could do. Definitely linked to espionage. He's been very fun to get into the shoes of and play, just because of how evil he can be. But that being said, he's been a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. So if any of you ever are in Goderich, Ontario, yep.
Goderich, Ontario.
Check it out.
The Liberty Theatre, last week of February, first week of March.
This is big. This is big. So.
Are you coming to see it, Mary?
I keep trying and I keep not being able to make it. I gotta try.
So it officially opens on February 22nd, runs from the 22nd to the 25th. And then runs again from the 29th to the 3rd
Ooh.
Of March. So, you know, we're about 4 weeks away. This time, 4 weeks from now, I'm going to be knee deep in performance. And then after that, you know, we'll see what comes out of it. But hey, until that time, I am here. I am here for Death Pixie. I'm here for all of your acting, voice acting needs. And you can find me and commission me by going through www.deathpixie.ca.
You know, because, I don't know if any of you know this, but like anything related to Shakespeare in Canada, especially Southern Ontario, like this could be your breakthrough.
You don't know. You never know.
Yeah. On that note, goodbye, everybody.